Healthy alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr. Jerry Teplitz. What Healthy Alternatives is about is most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health and wellness. We want to feel better, enjoy life, and live longer as well. That's what I attempt to bring you on each of the shows. A little later in the show, I'm going to be interviewing Lisa Stryker Stossel. She's an artist, speaker, educator. She's also author of the recently released book, Living Happily Ever After, Separately. We're going to be talking about how her marriage was saved and her relationship with her husband really improved by them moving into two separate homes. We'll be exploring that with Lisa Stryker Stossel in just a few minutes. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. What I want to talk about is angioplasty. Angioplasty is an invasive treatment that inflates a thin balloon in a narrowed artery, and it opens the artery up, and then many times a stent is left behind to keep the vessel open. Now, more than 500,000 Americans in 2007 received an angioplasty. When used during an actual heart attack, an angioplasty can quickly open a blocked artery to lessen the damage to your heart, and so it can be life-saving. However, many times, heart disease patients receive angioplasties even though they've not had a heart attack. And that's actually a decision that goes against the latest medical guidelines and also what's been found in some studies where people who were treated with less invasive methods fared just as well with those undergoing the angioplasty with stents. So what the research is showing, if you have a stable heart disease, in other words, you've got some angina and things like that, but you haven't had a heart attack, then lifestyle changes should be done prior to undergoing angioplasty. In 8 clinical trials involving 7,000 people, they showed that angioplasty actually offered no benefit compared to less invasive treatments. Plus, angioplasty has risks. You can get blood clots, stroke, you can have a heart attack from it, bleeding, and even death. And one of the purposes of angioplasty is to open up the arteries, where you can also get re-narrowing of the arteries taking place. And that occurs in up to 40% of the angioplasties without stents. Even with a stent, the risk is about 20%. It does drop to 10% for a stent that has drugs on it. Now, the other piece to look at is that you're actually saving a lot of money, over $9,000-$10,000 over the course of treatment by not having angioplasty done. And so alternatives are, for example, meditation, their exercise, their eating really healthy or eating organic, positive thoughts, vitamin D and sunlight. Many, many things you can do to avoid having an angioplasty done on you. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I do a monthly e-newsletter that's free. If you want to find out about signing up for that, go to teplitz.com. You'll see the About Home button, and you can just sign up there. Also at the top of the Healthy Alternatives page, you'll see Jerry Recommends. Those are people, products, services that I think you really need to know about because they can have a positive impact on you. Every week, I also like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. It's the newest discoveries, the latest information about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. And what I want to talk to you about today are some options for treating patients who are in caregiving situations because of dementia or Alzheimer's disease. Now, many of those situations, people who have dementia and Alzheimer's have set schedules that are enforced. They take antipsychotic drugs for calming, and there's no real emphasis on fun and anything joyful. I want to talk about three places that are going in the other direction and having actually remarkable results. One is a place called Life Care Center of Neshoba Valley in Littleton, Massachusetts. They have a concept of treating the whole person, not just the dementia. And they'll do it from unique ways. They even have a llama as a pet that will come into the unit to literally be with the people. When someone is upset or disruptive, rather than give them a sedative, the staff at Life Care tries to find what triggered the behavior. Was it a certain place or a time of day? And then they'll work at what they can do to soothe that person. As an example, one resident had been a librarian. When she became agitated, the staff would hand her a book. She'd relax instantly, flip through the pages, smell and caress it. The second place I want to talk about is Elder Serve at Night. It's at the Hebrew Home at Riverdale in Bronx, New York. Now, nighttime can be grueling for caregivers because dementia, Alzheimer's wreak havoc on an individual's sleep cycle, leading to sleeplessness, wandering, agitation. So in 1998, the Hebrew Home at Riverdale began offering adult day services at night. Those enrolled can socialize, putter in the garden, visit the circus, do yoga, paint, cook, listen to live music, get a mini massage. They receive prescribed meds, but they also get aromatherapy, physical therapy, and light therapy. And if they want to walk through the halls at 3 a.m., that's perfectly fine. So it's daycare at night really gives respite to the caregivers. The last place I want to talk about is Beautes Campus, Beatitudes Campus in Phoenix. And to them, what being comfortable for a resident means determining that person's individual schedule and letting them live their individual schedule. If a resident wants a martini before dinner or a bath at 3 a.m., they get it. They sleep and eat when they want. They only do activities that are of interest to them. As an example, a retired nurse might sit at the nurse's station and quote-unquote help by writing notes. The staff said it's something that this person's done all their life, and for them, it's meaningful. So there are options coming about. You need to start asking if you've got somebody who's got dementia or Alzheimer's and you're looking at putting them in a nursing home, what kind of options are out there so that you can go beyond just the reinforced schedules, the drugs, and no fun in life. Before I bring on my guest, Lisa Stryker-Stossel, I'd like to tell you about one of my DVDs. It's called Instant Headache and Migraine Relief. By using a Japanese pressure technique called shiatsu, I can show you how to do it on yourself or other people. You can get rid of a headache in 90 seconds, a migraine in 5 minutes. There's also treatments for stiff neck and sore shoulders, and you can do all of this on yourself, as well as there's a treatment for sinus colds too. You get 4 treatments on one DVD. If you want to know more about that, go to migraineandheadache.com. Go to my website at migraineandheadache.com. And is A-N-D.
So my guest today is Lisa Streichel-Stussel. She is an artist, speaker, educator, and author of the recently released book, Living Happily Ever After Separately. It tells the story of how she and her husband saved their marriage and rescued their family by staying married but living apart. After 23 years in a challenging relationship, Lisa came to the point where she knew she could no longer live with her husband, and she didn't want to wreck the family by divorcing. So she came up with the idea of living separately. It's 5 years since they moved apart, and their marriage is really totally transformed in a much more healthy way. And Lisa, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you, Jerry. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us about a little bit of the history of what happened and, your husband's name and the kind of the development of the original marriage version.
Okay. Well, my husband's name is Emil, Emil Stussel. It's a tricky last name to pronounce for we Americans, but he is from Germany. And we met in, I guess it was 1983, actually at our church, at our neighborhood church. He had just moved to town, and we met that way. We had a sort of a brief, intense, and wonderful courtship where we decided that we were really meant for each other. And during this time, I also met and became really smitten with his two little girls, Lisi and Julie, that he had from his previous marriage. We got married, and really within a relatively short time, it became clear that this was not really going to be a smooth sailing arrangement. It wasn't the fantasy.
How long did it take? You said short period. How long did it take you to have that awareness happen for at least you?
Yeah, pretty quick.
Okay.
Now, I'm saying this because to bear in mind that really I'm an idealist. I'm one of the sort of old school idealists, and I had built up this lovely, dreamlike, elaborate fantasy of what my marriage would be. And so as a result, I was sort of primed to be disappointed pretty easily and pretty early. So when things started to arise in our relationship that were incompatibilities or friction points, it just, I started to kind of make an invisible silent list of, oh, this doesn't feel right, oh, that doesn't feel right. And these things did happen really within the first few weeks. We had not lived together before we got married. And so, there were a lot of surprises, as there are for any couple who first starts to live together, whether they've gotten married or not.
So he wasn't putting the cap on the toothpaste or the lid down on the toilet, huh?
Yeah, sort of kind of things like that, although those two things he was really good at. But,
one of the tests, at least.
He did, yeah. No, in many ways, he really was and remained my knight in shining armor. And, these were the things that kept the marriage vital and kept it healthy and kept it together for so long, because in the important ways, he really was just what I was looking for and continues to be. But there was a lot of the day-to-day stuff, the sort of managing of the family and styles of, preferences in lifestyle, preferences in the way we wanted to spend our time, that it began to be clear that we had different ideas.
And so it took 23 years, though, for you to finally take action?
Yeah, well, within that 23 years, there were a lot of ups and downs. We worked very hard at raising our girls. We had the two little girls that he brought to the family, Lisi and Julie, and then Emil and I, the year after we got married, had a daughter, Susanna. So we had three daughters that we were raising, and we were both very, very focused on giving our daughters the best childhood that we possibly could. That was absolutely the number one priority and something that we really shared. So, we were busy doing that, and keeping the family together for that reason was reason enough for many, many years. Within the 23 years, we had gotten to a point where things were so rough that we went to counseling, and we went to marriage counseling for 3 years solid every week. And that definitely saved our marriage. After that 3 years, we went directly into 1 year of family counseling with the same therapist. So all of those things really, really helped. And, you know, we would sort of go along and be fine for a while, and then something would happen and it would tip the scales and we'd sort of spiral downward again, and then we'd sort of pick ourselves back up again. And so it went off and on and up and down over the period of our marriage. So from that point of view, there were really good times that underscored some fundamental values and ideals that Emil and I share. And then there were the bad times that underscored the fact that it was really hard for me to live with him.
And so now you're living physically apart in two different houses.
Yes.
And it's been 5 years, and so tell us a bit about what you've been discovering with that.
Yeah. Well, we live in two different houses. We're about 3 miles apart, just on either side of our hometown. And we actually, when we set out on this adventure, we didn't really have a picture of how it would evolve. We didn't know really what it was going to look like in real terms. We just knew that we needed to try this. And things developed organically, really, from the get-go. Emil was very supportive of me. It was hard for him initially to hear that I wanted to live apart, but he understood my reasoning. He understood that I did want to preserve our marriage and that this was not a separation leading toward divorce, that this was really an effort to try and rebuild our relationship, and he had faith in that. And so he was very supportive of it, really, from the start, and helped me move. And he actually has been paying my mortgage, which I couldn't have managed on my own part-time income. We co-own both of our homes, so it's really very much a joint venture. But the way that it has evolved is that we actually do spend about half the week together. We have sort of come into a pretty regular routine where we generally spend 4 nights together and 3 nights apart. And most of the time I'm spending the night at his house, but usually 1 night a week he'll spend the night at my house. And during the 3 days that we are not together, those are my work days, and he comes over for dinner once or twice. So it's really just 1 day a week that we don't see each other at all. So we still have a very dynamic relationship, and our lives are still very much intertwined.
So other than living apart, though, how does this change it from kind of the traditional marriage model, and how did it change the pressures on you folks?
Good question. Changes from the traditional marriage model, probably, I guess, just living apart, having separate houses, is really fundamentally the only thing that's different. We still have the same commitment to each other. It's a totally monogamous relationship. There has never been a desire or question about seeing other people. Really, there's not a whole lot different from a traditional marriage. We still keep our vows and our loyalty and our love for one another and our support for one another. You know, in terms of how that has shifted the reality of our relationship, it's tremendous. It's been totally tremendous. It has detoxified our relationship. Now, what I have to also add in there, though, is that we still have the same incompatibilities that drove us apart. It's just that we're not living in the midst of them all the time. They're not in our faces all the time. And if something crops up when we're together, there's always the option to just say, oh, well, you know, maybe I should just go back to my house and we'll try again tomorrow. And there's not this real heavy burden of resentment and accusation and blame that there had been really for so much of our marriage, because we were really making each other miserable.
So it's kind of like when relatives come to visit, you can put up with stuff because you know they're going to leave?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you can just let it roll off. You know, and other people are probably better at managing to do that in the context of their traditional marriage arrangement than maybe I am. I tend to be a pretty sensitive person, and I don't let things roll off too easily. So, you know, there was just this accumulated stress and toxicity that became very unhealthy. I mean, physically, I had become very unhealthy. And since I have moved out, that has changed almost 180 degrees. I've lost 45 pounds. I exercise every day. You know, the pain that I was experiencing is almost completely gone, and you know, I've just really got a whole different reality now.
So before we continue, I'd like to remind you you're listening to Dr. Jerry Teplitz on Healthy Alternatives, and we'll be back with my guest Lisa Strikostossel in just a moment.
I'd like your help. I'd really like to get Healthy Alternatives out to many more people that are listening and enjoying and learning from these shows. We get about 70 to 100,000 downloads a month of the different shows, and what I'd really appreciate it if you would start Twittering and put it on Facebook and email your friends and family about the show, because I think this information is very valuable and can really help in people's lives. So I'd appreciate it if you'd be willing to do that, and thank you very much.
My guest today is Lisa Strikostossel. She's an artist, speaker, educator, and author of the recently released book, Living Happily Ever After Separately. So she's been talking about the story of how she and her husband have saved their marriage by living apart, and she's been doing that now for 5 years, and she's sharing with us the impact that this has had on her. And when we broke, she was talking about the difference in our health, and so has Emil had a difference in his health before or after the notion, or how about the kids? So they had a difference as well.
Yeah. Well, in terms of Emil's physical health, I don't think that the marriage had affected him the same way as it does
me. He's the stoic guy, okay?
He is. He's, you know, sort of a salt-of-the-earth kind of guy. You know, he gets the job done. And so I don't think that he, you know, took it on to the same degree. But he is definitely, he's happier. He just sort of has a lightness about him that he didn't have when he was coming home to this unhappy house after work every day. You know, you can imagine the difference. He comes home to a house that is of his design. It's, you know, he's got all of his things where he wants them. His schedule is the way he wants it. And it's, you know, it's just a very freeing experience for him. Now, you asked about our three girls. They're all grown, and they were all grown, you know, by the time we embarked on this new venture. But we have always been a close family, and the girls had come home on a regular basis, and, you know, we're very much affected by the way things had gone sour in our marriage and have been very affected by the change, by the switch as well. In fact, when I was writing the book, it occurred to me that a really essential piece of putting this in book form would be to let Emil and each of the girls write their own chapter, you know, to give their own perspective on what it was like to be in the marriage the way it was before and what the family has been like since. And so they did each write their own chapter, and you know,
and you
really
didn't actually know what they were going to be saying.
I didn't know. I didn't know, and I didn't edit it. You know, I really wanted them to have their own genuine voice, and it comes through very clearly when you read the book. So, you know, they all talk about how much more loving and joyous our family time is now, and just really how much healthier it is. And the fact, I think, that we have been able to model for them that marriage doesn't have to be just one way. You don't have to squeeze whatever it is you have with another person into this cookie cutter shape that has been passed down generation after generation, that you can look at your relationship with another person and be creative and figure out what really will work best. What is the best way to experience and celebrate the love between two people? And we had the courage to do this, and that has been very inspiring for them.
In our talking, I realize I've actually kind of done a form of what you're talking about, because with all the traveling I do with speaking,
mm-hmm.
It means there are periods when I'm not here and periods when I'm here. Mm-hmm. And we stay in contact, you know, on the phone every day when I'm gone. But when you come home, it's like you don't necessarily get into the same kind of issues because, you know, you're going to be leaving.
Yeah.
And so I think I've sort of been doing your model without having thought that much about
it. Yeah, it's another variation on it. And what it does, Jerry, is it makes the time together so much more precious. You know, you don't take the other person for granted to the same degree, and you have time away to miss them. It's one of the great things about this arrangement is I really miss Emil. You know, and I have the opportunity.
Well, wait a minute. You see him 6 nights a week.
Well, yeah, but I do miss him sometimes. I do miss him. And there are nights, like there are sort of optional nights. Thursday night and Sunday night is, you know, it's not really hard and fast that we spend the night together. So I kind of, you know, have the option to go over to his house or not. And I kind of check in with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, do I need some more time to myself? And more, you know, 90% of the time I'm saying, no, I really want to snuggle. So, I mean, that's such a gift.
Now, one of the things I think that does suffer from when you're married is your relationship with friends who are close friends of you who say we're not married, because you can't spend as much time with them and they don't tend to join in a couple activities as much. And have you found a difference in your friendships with other people?
You know, that's a great question. I think that in some ways it has freed me up to really be able to enjoy my friends more. And in some ways it's a little bit harder. The way that it's enabled me to free up my relationships and my time spent with these other friends is that generally on a Friday or a Saturday night, I'll have a date with one of my girlfriends. And what happens is, depending on what we're going to do together, if it's, you know, if we go out dancing or something and it's going to be a late evening, I say to Emil, what's my curfew? And he tells me, because he's generally an early to bed kind of guy, and he's also a very light sleeper. So he'll say, you know, if you can be home by 10:30 or 11, you can come over to my house. Otherwise, I go to my house. So, you know, that's been an interesting dynamic. Now, and so that has enabled me to not feel bad about going out and having fun with my friends and coming home late, because if I'm too late, then I can just go over to the other house. But on the other hand, I have to be very mindful of not planning too many dates on the weekends with my friends, because, you know, I have this commitment to spend time with Emil too, and he's not as social as I am. So, you know, he misses the time that we're normally together if I'm not there in a different way, because he's, you know, he doesn't have buddies that he goes out and hangs out with. So I have to just be careful. Whereas when we were living together full time, 7 days a week, you know, if I was out with friends 2 or 3 days a week, you wouldn't notice because I was always coming home.
So what are the disadvantages from this kind of arrangement that you've seen?
Yeah. The biggest disadvantage is the fact that it's more expensive, you know, which obviously it would be to have two different places to live. We have been fortunate in that we have been able to manage it financially. But, you know, in that, what I want to say, and this is one of the first objections that people will make when I talk about, you know, saving your marriage by living separately. They'll say, oh, you know, there's no way we could afford that. And my answer to them is, well, if you get divorced, it's a lot more expensive. You will have to afford living separately. And it won't be fun. You know, it'll be a whole different enterprise. So, you know, what I offer to people with this book is hopefully you haven't gotten to the point of no return in terms of your level of toxicity or disharmony in your relationship, and you could consider doing this as a way to avoid divorce if you feel that there's enough substance left and there's enough love left in your marriage to possibly save it by doing this. Because as I say, if you get divorced, you're going to have to afford to live separately, and you're going to be paying the lawyers, and you're going to have destroyed your family.
Yeah, having been a lawyer a long time ago and handled a couple of divorces, they get extremely messy emotionally, even when people are in agreement as to that they're, you know, going to split things, and
yeah,
you can get down to that little thing of, I want this, and, you know,
yeah,
and so it can get very messy emotionally.
Yeah, it really can. So, you know, there's a really high cost, and it's not just the dollar sign. It's also, yeah, as you say, the emotional cost. The other disadvantage to this arrangement is from an environmental point of view. Emil and I are both tree huggers, and, you know, we do everything we can to be environmentally friendly, and we've got a much bigger footprint right now than we did before, but we really do try to compensate by doing everything else that we can. You know, in terms of recycling, Emil has started beekeeping. We're both vegetarians. We eat organic. You know, we just do all kinds of repurposing and resourcing of things and cutting down on consumption altogether. So, but, you know, there is that feature. When you look at the environmental press and people are talking about trying to, you know, cluster housing and live in tiny houses and all of these things, which I think are really great, that's unfortunately not something that we're able to do.
Well, instead of getting the mother-in-law suite, you can get the wife or husband suite put on the house now.
You know, Emil would have loved that. He would have loved to have me live next door. Or, you know, the first thing that he said, actually, when I talked about needing to move out, he said, well, I'll build the addition, and you can live in the addition. And I said, no, you know, it's just not going to be good enough. So,
too close.
Yeah. And my ideal would be within walking distance. As a matter of fact, there's a piece of property about three blocks away that if I win the lottery, I would love to build a house there, and that would be just the right distance. Right now, it's a drive, and that's kind of a drag.
Well, wait a minute. You need to get on your bicycle, lady.
Yes. Definitely. If we lived in a more bike-friendly community with not so many intense hills, I would be all over that.
Great. So for those of you who'd like to take a closer look at her book and what Lisa Streichel-Stossel does, and her book's Living Happily Ever After Separately, you can go to her website. It's Lisa, L-I-S-E, Stryker, S-T-R-Y-K-E-R, Stossel, S-T-O-E-S-S-E-L.com, LisaStrykerStossel.com. And you can also find her on Facebook at Living Happily Separately. Lisa, thanks for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Thanks a lot, Jerry.
My guest next week is going to be Betty Lou, and we're going to be talking about sex. We're going to be talking about Betty Lou having had a progressively destructive. We're going to be talking about how Betty Lou had a progressively destructive cr- chronic pain condition for over 25 years. For 15 years, she used pharmaceuticals. And what she found is by going to the sexual side, the inner beauty side, she actually was able to control her pain. She's been helping people for many years now. She has over 150 radio shows and podcasts she's done at her website at CoachBettyLive.com. And we're going to be talking to her. And we're going to be talking to her about living an orgasmic and organic. And we're going to be talking to her about living an organic and orgasmic life. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.